Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 Cairo International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Mats Grord. Thank you very much for joining
us. Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Presenting the film The Tower. I guess for the benefit of our listeners who are not familiar with it, would you like to introduce it and tell us as much as you'd like?
Well, it's a film from a Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon. And it's based... I used to live in this camp in 2001. I spent 1 year in the camp. So it's based on interviews and, you know, the stories of my friends in the camp. So it's a personal story about this girl growing up in the camp. Her name's Wadidi. She's 11. So it's a story about... It's a family tale. But you also get the history of the Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, starting from 1948 and onwards. So it's kind of like a portrait of life in the camp today, looking at the past and also looking at the future. You know what?
When you say you stayed at a camp, well, you mean you lived there properly? You slept there? You everything?
I lived, slept, and I was working in the kindergarten whilst I was there. At that time, I had already finished my animation studies, so I knew that I wanted to do something from the camp, and I started to do interviews with my friends. And later, I used these interviews as a starting point for my script.
I understand, but was there also like some sort of a personal reason why you decided to spend that year in the camp beyond maybe ambitions or even work, let's say?
Yes. I grew up with the kind of stories from the camp since I was small. My mom was a nurse in Lebanon in the end of the 80s when there was the war, and I also lived in Cairo when I was 12, and we went to Jerusalem, to Gaza. So I was kind of, growing up with stories from Palestine. So I wanted to experience myself what it was like.
And eventually then you decided to study animation now, and then you finished your studies and you did this film. But why express yourself through animation? What was the calling? Where did the calling come from?
Well, with this film, naturally I was already into animation. When I was talking to my friends, how they would talk about their lives was in a way that I found really, really poetic and very philosophical. And I felt that using kind of... I wanted to use parts of how they told their story in animation or in a film. Then I felt that animation was the best way to do it. That you have, the rules of what you can do and what you can... how you make your dialogue is different in animation than in real live-action film.
About people's perception of animation, is there anything that frustrates you, especially considering the film that you made, which we will talk about then?
I love making animation, but I think, I love cinema. So I have the same kind of, I don't just watch animation because it's animation. It has to be a good story and it has to be a subject that interests me. So, I perhaps share some of the... I don't know, until now, I think, a lot of animation has been made for kids. And I really understand that an adult audience would have a problem kind of, that sounds, I don't know if I'm going to watch that or not. But there's a real change that happened, with Waltz with Bashir, that you have a lot of films coming out, especially this year. So if you look at the program in Annecy, there's like 8-9 films really dealing with adult content and in a different way than you can in live action. So I think it's really changing quite fast that people get used to having adult films done in animation that really are, really well done.
The reason why I did ask that, and it was kind of a provocative question, is because, yes, you have the Disney movies and then you have movies like Curious that are more kind of artistic in the sense that they also appeal to, also not, maybe not exclusively, to a more adult and mature audience. Of course, your film deals with very kind of important topics and issues that maybe some children don't understand. I think there's a line in the film that says that, children find a way to be happy even in the middle of horror. I'm, of course, paraphrasing. So that's also a theme in it, that sort of as you grow older, things change and you awaken to things that maybe being happy isn't so easy anymore.
Yeah, from the beginning, I was writing for an adult audience. Yeah. But then when the film comes out and it's a story about an 11-year-old girl, people do find it, naturally that, we're going to have our kids see this. Mm-hmm. And we also found out that the film does actually work for kids, and that I'm really happy for. So then it's more, how do you market the film that both adults and kids understand that this is a film for them? So like in Norway, we have a Norwegian dubbed version for kids and families, and we also have an Arabic version and an English version for an adult audience.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's kind of two versions of the film, essentially, right?
Yeah, and we're doing the same in France, that you have a French dubbed version for, like, a younger audience, and you have an Arabic version for, you know, a more cinephile adult audience, yeah.
Okay, I understand, yeah. Yeah, it's also a sophisticated way of telling the story, because we should mention that it's kind of like taking place at different times, you know, because there is, in fact, the two different times of the movie are highlighted by the difference in the animation now. Would you like to tell me about this difference in the animation that we see?
Yeah, it's the flashbacks are done in 2D, and this helped us both, like, you're more free in, you know, that you have emotional flashbacks. It doesn't necessarily just follow this happened and this happened and this happened. It's, we try to have an emotional portrayal of how people felt.
Yeah, which like a representation.
But then that, you know, the drawings give you more freedom what you can do with images. Mm-hmm. That the puppet animation, which everything that happens in the present is done in. Mm-hmm. The puppets, you know, the tactility of a puppet, we really wanted things to look handmade and to feel handmade, and also the animation style is quite rough, to feel, you know, that this is something that's real. It's not done in 3D, CGI, I don't know, so there were these things, but also a lot of, you know, choices are in the beginning quite practical. Mm. Like, how do you make scenes from Beirut in the, you know, the 60s or 70s with lots of people?
Yeah.
And how do you, then you're going to build this as a set? And we started off with quite a meager budget. So it's also like, just how do we make this film? How do we make it happen? Then, of course, when the film is out, you start to understand how it works and why it works in the way it does. So, I mean, we also found out things while making the film. Like, okay, how do we really, you know, make the camp, you know, with all the details and everything? That was a lot easier drawing it than building it, for example. So, I mean, you also discover things while you're making the film.
Yeah.
This I like, because then, you know, the journey of making the film becomes more interesting, that you don't have all the answers.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, you would expect that with animation, maybe you're more restricted, but what you're saying, in terms of style, in terms of, like, maybe molding it and stuff, but what you're saying essentially is that, no, you can learn and you can kind of change things as you go along?
Well, yeah, we had an experienced crew in France. That meant that it was possible during the process to actually do some changes, because, you know, it was a small team, both the 2D and the puppet animation was done in the same house. So we had this flexibility somehow. Let's look at this scene. Maybe we can do it in a different way. So, I mean, of course you had a storyboard and animatic, but we did have the chance to change things as we went along, yeah.
Let's get back to the screening yesterday. Like, we talked before the interview. I attended the screening, and people seemed to really be touched by it, and there was a spontaneous applause at a certain moment in the film, which is very rare. So, I mean, I guess this film, especially, were you worried a little bit of screening it here because of the closeness of the themes that the audience might feel?
Not really worried. We had a screening in Ramallah, which is, you know, it's a, you know, purely or mostly Palestinian audience, and I've lived in Egypt, so even if I was small, I still kind of, you know, feel that I have a sense of what people are. No, I wasn't so worried, but it, yeah, of course, you're always kind of, you know, wondering how people are going to react. You know, there is quite a bit of difference between Palestine and Egypt, of course. So I was really interested to see, okay, how do they respond as well? More interested than worried. Right. But I think the same in Norway, that a lot of people are touched. I think, you know, because it's a story about relations as well. It's not just strictly a Palestinian thing. It's, you know, how do a young child relate to her great-grandfather? How do parents relate to their kids? It's all these human things. And it's about death. It's about, you know, how you make life in camp, in this case. But I think people relate to it to their lives as well. Like, so I think that, you know, it makes it emotional because it's about us as human beings in many ways, even if it's the story is about Palestinians.
But has there been, because we're going back to the theme of the fact that it is dealing with delicate issues, has there been reactions to the film that surprised you at other festivals, where at other places where it was screened? I mean, it is a film that, I guess, encourages debate. That's for sure.
Well, you know, it was important for me in the film to not get into the Palestine-Israel thing, which then people kind of automatically put their hands up and either say, oh, this is too complicated for me, I don't want to, you know, it's I can't talk about this, I can't have an opinion, or it's like, oh, they're always quarreling, blah, blah, or fighting or killing each other. So, the film is an attempt to kind of look at the human side of things, and which is political, but to focus really on the human story, and in that way show that these people that have been living in the camps for 70 years without any rights, without any, you know, being outside their country, you know, what is this like as a human being? And then you kind of avoid the trap of falling into the high politics. Of course, people want to hijack. Some people want to hijack the discussion and saying, oh, this is anti-Semitic. But it's very rare, actually. It's more rare than I possibly expected, because it's kind of makes it difficult to attack the film, because it's just about people. And it was also a deliberate choice for me not to include lots of Israelis in the film. It's really just the point of view of the Palestinians about their lives in the camp, which makes it kind of harder to say, oh, you're demonizing the Israelis, you're demonizing this and that, blah, blah. So I think, I think we achieved what we wanted, was really just people to feel what it's like to live in this camp and what history's kind of been to these people. Mm.
Do you think that animation in a way helps to make it more universal, something, a film like this more universal?
I think so. And I think also that, you know, it's also, I mean, you learn from experience. So I learn when screening the film, you know, sitting in the audience and just seeing how they react. And they are touched. And a lot of people come to me and say, we're not really into animation, but I was crying the whole film. And it's, so it shows me at least that, you know, the puppets and the drawings have this power to, that it's easier to relate somehow to something that's quite difficult and often quite sad, which I think in a, you know, live action, it would be perhaps too heavy in a way that you kind of distance yourself, because you can't handle it in a sense, and then you just block off. But with the animation, it's kind of, there's like an open door somehow to
sure.
I don't know, it's it just seems to work. Yeah,
thank you very much for joining us, it was a great pleasure.
Thank you.
And once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called The Tower, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.